The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back to the Life Tips Show, everyone. Byron White here, your host. I'm here with Manish Siegel. Manish, welcome to the show.
Hey, Byron. How are you doing? Thank you for having me today.
You're the founder of Novatrix and an innovative company we're going to talk a little bit about. But before we dive into that fascinating model that you'll give us some updates on, tell us a little bit about your background. I know you're a serial entrepreneur like myself. Tell us about the world of starting businesses and how you started things.
Well, I've had actually kind of a very strange background. When I was young, I got interested in computers and also electronic music. And so what ended up happening is my focus shifted to the music side of things. And while I was at college studying science, I put out a demo, released my first album, used to do electronic dance music. And what was amazing was, you know, my folks looked at me and said, wow, you must be crazy. You know, what are you doing? And the lessons I learned from basically being an artist and you know, creating things that didn't exist and then figuring out how to sell them and get them out were foundational to me being an entrepreneur. And I realized, I used to think my superpower was music, but I realized my superpower is starting or creating ideas. And music was just the first step in learning that I was able to do that. So that's kind of how I started. And then I've, you know, started a bunch of companies since, including a offshore outsourcing graphics company, had a real estate business for a while, and now Novatrix, which is a mobile technology company.
Got it. And tell us a little bit about your offshore graphics company. Tell us about that. I'm curious.
Well, I started that business in 1997, and basically what happened was I moved to New York to be an artist and took a job at a company called McKinsey, which I didn't know at the time was one of the most prestigious consulting firms in the world, if not the most. And while I was working there, I was doing their graphics work, almost like the waitering job of the 90s for artists, you know. And then I had this idea, wouldn't it be great if I could get other people to do this instead of me and make money off of it? And so I spent 2 years writing a business plan, got some really great help from people that were there, got them to agree to be my first client, launched the company. Within a year, I raised $4 million in venture capital. I expanded to India. The company today is called Integrion, and they've got, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 employees. You know, they've got 15 offices worldwide, et cetera, et cetera. But I left in 2003. It really wasn't, the world of outsourcing really wasn't for me. It wasn't that much fun, but it was certainly a good place to learn about business for sure.
Terrific. And by the way, on a side note, I know quite a bit that about that space. I started a graphic arts placement agency myself in 1992 and I sold it in 1997 to Aquint. So you and I are traveling on the same planet here for a little while in our lives. Tell us about your current hotspot and startup that you're putting all of your mental energy, I'm sure. Novatrix. First of all, bold, radical move to put a number in the middle of the brand there. And tell us about that, Novatrix. And of course, it's NOV8RIX.com. But tell us a little bit about Novatrix and what that means to you and why you started it, named the company.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm certainly not a marketing genius. And, you know, it was sort of a product of me being a little bit of a science geek and you know, essentially deriving the word from innovate and then taking the ATE and turning it into a number, and then it just becoming Novatrix. So that's kind of the, you know, not a very exciting story about the name, but really it's anchored in the concept of innovation, doing stuff that's new, that hasn't been done before. And the idea of our company is basically what we do is we take cutting-edge mobile publishing technology and productize it so that it's affordable and within reach of anyone who wants a mobile app. We've got essentially two products. We've got the smartphone publisher, which is, you know, a great app for bands and small businesses. It's like a fan club app, pretty well-rounded multimedia product. And now we've just released the iPad publisher, which is targeting the magazine and you know, comic book, journal, periodical, basically any type of publications space. So that's kind of our focus right now.
Interesting. And have you looked closely at that publishing space and some of the alarming stats that are standing out at you as you think about the growth of that industry? Could you maybe give us some updates on how big that market is?
It's a really interesting space, actually. And the way that we went down this path was, honestly, you know, we were doing our smartphone publisher, and a lot of prospective clients came to us and said, hey, we're in the publishing space, we're getting killed, it's really expensive, you know, print is costly, there aren't that many solutions out there, you know, there's a great solution by Adobe, but you need to have, you know, tens of thousands of issues in circulation on a monthly basis to even consider affording it. There's nothing affordable out there. So we had enough people come to us over the course of the last 6 months that made us really look at this space and realize that it's an opportunity to help an industry that really needs affordable solutions. And basically what's happening is companies have a couple of options. A, you can build it internally. That's kind of a real pain because you have to support it and maintain it and port it to different platforms and keep it current and blah, blah, blah. B, you can buy a product like an Adobe, which will give you, you know, your own app, but in their case, they're very expensive. And C, there's a lot of companies out there that are basically following a publishing aggregation model, which is, you know, if you have a magazine, you know, companies like this are like Zinio or a Comixology. If you have a magazine, put it into our mall, we'll pay you a small percentage of the sales, et cetera, et cetera. And there really wasn't an alternative that made it affordable for people to have their own branded app where they control all of the content within their app. You know, one example is the Marvel app. Have you seen that, Byron, by the way? Do you?
I haven't, no.
Well, the Marvel Comics app is really awesome. And if you look at their strategy, what they do is they've got this sort of two-tier distribution. First, they have their own app. So it's fully branded to them. They've got all their titles. They spend all their marketing dollars, digital marketing dollars, on driving traffic to their own app because they capture all the revenue. Then what they do is they place their content also in these aggregators like Comixology, so they basically pick up spillover, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Comixology, which is awesome, is, you know, it doesn't cost anything to go in, which is great. You know, but the downside is if you spend money to bring people to that store, you're exposing them to everybody else's content, and they might buy something else. The upside is you might pick up spillover. So what Marvel is doing is they've got their own brand, their own app, they're focused on selling it, capturing all the revenue, and then they've got a second tier, which is through this aggregator model. What we're doing is we're giving people their own Marvel-like app so they can implement the same kind of strategy. Does that make sense?
It does. So in the end of the day, what am I buying on your site and how much does it cost? Give us a rundown and how is it going to help my business?
Sure. So what we do is we give you your own branded iPad digital storefront. So if you're a publisher of any sort and you've got one-off titles, a large archive that you're sitting on that you want to put out and distribute globally to iPads, whatnot, if you've got a situation where you're selling subscriptions, you can do that through our digital storefront. So it'll be like the Byron app. It's fully branded to you. It's released through your developer account. When you make sales, Apple pays you directly. We don't take a percentage of any of the sales that come out of your store. You know, we support it. You know, we help stock the inventory to the shelves, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what you're getting. Distributed globally to, you know, up to 50 million iPads can currently look at it. You know, who knows? Apple might sell another 50 million this holiday season. But so in terms of pricing, one of the things we do is we post it on our website. So it's all there. All of our information is there. We're not a company that makes you have to call us to find out how much we cost. But our standard pricing is $2,000 for the store. It includes three titles that you can put in, three publications. After that, we charge a per page insertion fee, basically. So if you put in a 100-page publication, we charge $250 a page, so that's $250 to stock that item into your store. And then we charge 25 cents flat for downloads, for the delivery of the downloads. So for example, if you sell something for 10 bucks, Apple takes their share, you get the rest, and we take 25 cents. If you sell it for $1,000, Apple takes their share, you get the rest, and we get 25 cents. So it's actually a really great deal for people who, you know, want to publish but don't want a revenue share or enter into any kind of, you know, sort of publishing partnership. I mean, we are a partner on the technology side, of course, but we're not looking to get a piece of your content.
Got it. So are you aiming at the customer that has maybe a self-published book, for example? Or like who are you aiming at, you know, for your target audience? E-commerce store? You know, who's the target audience for your product?
That's a good question. I mean, mostly we're aiming for small to mid-sized publishers, people that do have content, people who sort of, you know, bread and butter living. They pay their bills by selling publications. So that's kind of our primary target. But what's interesting about our model is that we make it affordable for anyone to be a publisher. So if, let's say you've got one or two titles about a specific topic, you know, I love your show. I think your show, you know, the concept of your show about personal development, learning, growing. I'm a huge personal development junkie. I've been to, you know, Tony Robbins seminars and all kinds of seminars and just really inspiring. There's no reason why someone out there who's a budding entrepreneur couldn't sit there and say, okay, I'm going to take Novatrix technology. I'm going to be a publisher. I'm going to get 10 titles from wherever I get them about key topics and stock them in the store. And I'm basically going to be a curator and market the store and, you know, pay the, you know, either license from the content creators. Basically, people can use our technology to become their own aggregator, to become their own publisher, to use it for their own stuff. I mean, however you choose to use it, it's up to you. Our target is enabling small businesses, mid-sized businesses, individuals, to be able to publish and distribute their content through the iPad, through a branded, contained store that belongs to them.
This just in from Bowker's Books in Print. It's amazing what's happened in the self-publishing industry, but I was just reading about this. I happen to have it in front of me. But the number of books published, and I'm talking about you know, printed books here, the number of books published in 2010 jumped from over 1.3 million in 2009 to 3.1 million in 2010. Wow. Almost triple the number of people that publish books. Now, of that, of these, 2.7 million were non-traditionally published books, and I'm talking about print-on-demand and self-publishing titles. So think about that. Of the 3.1 million, 2.7 are self-published on-demand books. This is truly remarkable and very, very hot right now. So I one of the reasons I was so excited to have you on. But the problem here, my question is on the marketing end of things, right? You know, what are you seeing out there? I mean, it's great if an individual publisher can now sell a version of their title or their book on an iPad version, essentially, and you know, an ability to purchase the product on the iPad and then have the asset delivered on the iPad so you can actually read it. But what kind of challenges do you see, and how are you helping your customers with the actual sale of the book and the distribution and the marketing of the book? I wanted to ask you about that.
Sure, that's a really good question. So obviously people come to us for our experience, and we've learned quite a few things. With our smartphone publisher, we have 200 apps out on iOS and Android with that particular product. So we've certainly seen a lot of things that work, and we've also seen things that don't work. So one of the things that we do periodically is we have webinars whereby we, you know, give people tips and ideas on how to market their products. Now, I don't claim to be a marketing guru. We are a tech company first and foremost. However, we really do focus on advising our clients to do some of the most fundamental basic things that is sort of like a no-brainer that people overlook. Like, for example, if you have an app and you have a business card, why not put the URL of the app in the form of a QR code on the back of your business card? So anytime you see anyone, any sort of print medium you're going out on, you know, use QR technology to drive people to that page. You know, make a website on your, you know, in your domain or whatever that's dedicated to the app itself. Make sure you, you know, put information about the app on top of your website. Don't make people dig through it. You know, focus on what I always encourage people to do is focus on migrating existing clients, people who are already your customers, who are already your fans and whatnot, to migrate over and acquire your app, because that does wonders for like word of mouth. Now, of course, there's, you know, you can pay people for PR, you can pay people to do Twitter and things like that and hire whatnot. So if you have the budget, you know, we can give you some advice around what are the things you can do that we found to be more effective. But just like any business, I mean, unless you tell someone about it, people aren't going to find it. You know, just like having any website, having a website, unless you get the word out and take charge of that, you can't expect to put something in the App Store like you can't expect to put a website up on the internet and not do anything and magically make sales. I mean, it certainly takes work. The benefit of it is, of course, you know, you get global reach. You can look at your data. You can find, like, for example, Byron, I have a great story about another product, our smartphone publisher. We have a client that's a band, and these guys do like a German style, you know, techno music based here. You know, they're here in New York, and they put out an app and found out that all their downloads were coming from like Taiwan and Hong Kong, even though they weren't Chinese and didn't really know any Chinese people. And what that made them do was that made them shift their strategy in where to actually tour, because they realized through their app that they have a bigger fan base in sort of this unexpected area. So it's kind of a synergistic approach. Like, you basically have to, you know, take action, look at, you know, measure your results, step back, reflect, retool, and take more action, just like you do with anything in life.
The market that I wanted to ask you about was kind of an unusual market, and I'm not sure how it fits with your model. But if you take a look at the homepage of like ideallaunch.com, our parent site, you'll see that I give away a free copy of my book, a PDF version, you know, an ebook version of it. Now, the book sells for $9.99, and I like calling it pennies from heaven. People actually buy it, God help them. You can get it for free on the website, but they like the printed version of the book, and that's great. But I really use it for lead generation on the website. Can your model fit with somebody that is, you know, of course, excited to, you know, give away and distribute, you know, an iPad version of their book? And where there's no fee, I mean, is that possible within your platform?
Yeah. Well, so what we do is we allow people to have one title that has no delivery fee associated to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, if they want to swap that title out with whatever else, like if they've got a new promotion or, you know, want to feature another whatever 25 pages of something, that's fine. We understand that it's important to provide clients with free, you know, with just basically with free content, so that they can see the value of getting the paid content. So yeah, absolutely.
But what, I mean, I would pay for that, you know, for my book, right? I mean, it would be cool to say, oh, get a free iPad version of my 101 Content Marketing Tips book. You know, what would that cost me? Do I have to go through the same protocol of a $2,000 setup? You know, get to transform it. The book's already been designed, but you've got to rip it into the platform, much like you rip it into the Mobi platform, right? You take a website and you rip it into the Mobi platform. Is this the same kind of thing where you're taking the actual book and ripping it into an iPad?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. Basically, what we do is we use the PDF format, and so basically, if you can generate a PDF, we can stock the shelf of your store. If you're asking about, there's a couple of questions that I'm hearing in what you're asking. One is, can I give something away for free? The answer is yes. But if you're also asking about if somebody paid for a print version, can I give them the digital version for free? The answer to that is also yes. However, it's much more complicated and also requires a level of customization on our end. So we'd have to talk to you about what the cost implications are, because it's not buying our product right out of the off the shelf. Basically, the way that it works is Apple has allowed for what they call free subscriptions, and so what would need to happen is we would need to know who the buyers are of your paid print book, so that we can authorize them to receive the subscription for free, whereas everybody else would have to pay for it, or a free issue or what,
Interesting.
It's a little bit, from a technology standpoint, it's a little bit more complicated, especially if you're a company that's got a bunch of, magazines and print subscribers. That would, in order to do it efficiently, like, our systems would have to be integrated, so we know who your kind of active customer database is, so we can sort of flip the switch on or flip it off. In terms of authorizing them or turning it off if they don't resubscribe,
And how quickly does that process happen? Like, can you send an email to Apple saying, here, when this email customer goes to download my iPad, app, can you just give them immediate access? Or is there a delay? It has to go through a system. How does that API work?
Oh, everything with Apple takes time. So it's not possible to send an email to anyone in Apple and say, turn these people on. Basically, what we need to do is integrate, with the client into our back-end infrastructure, which ties into Apple. And so that all depends on how big of your database this applies to. So again, it's a customization on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
But we know that for some companies, it's a really important thing to be able to do. Basically, what we have to do is build something special that talks to your system to get your information into our system so that we can push it out to Apple. But it's, you're not actually dealing with humans at Apple. It's all through their system, iTunes Connect.
Got it. Let's take a break, everybody. Right back after the break. Thanks. See you in a second.
This WebmasterRadio.fm program is presented by AFConEvents.com, AFFCONEvents.com. Dive deep into 5 days of digital marketing education and information at AFCON's inaugural Digital Marketers Cruise, March 17th to the 21st, 2012. Be a sponsor, exhibitor, or register today at AFConEvents.com.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break.
From the creators of We Build Pages, experience the power of the Internet Marketing Ninja. An exclusively trained army of nearly 100 in-house ninjas. Mastered in the arts of social media, local marketing, content creation, SEO reporting, and yes, link building. The Internet Marketing Ninjas will release a new version of their legendary tools to the public. Visit imninjas.com. The ninjas are coming.
As you know, being an expert at
What did she say?
Requires lots of practice and a great tool. Think you could use some help with
Whoa!
You're not alone. Hundreds have used our tool to take their performance to the next level.
The language!
Of course, we're talking about managing Facebook ads on Acquisio.
Oh.
Buy, track, manage, optimize, and report on media across all major ad networks. Visit Acquisio.com to get a demo today. Acquisio. Search, social, display, one platform.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrand.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to ebrandswithaz.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Open your windows for a breath of fresh air.
Webmasterradio.fm.
And hey, Mac, we're here for you too.
Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
I'm back, everyone, with Manish Siegel. Welcome back, Manish.
Thanks. Hey, Byron.
So I think we answered all the questions in the publishing world, in the mobile world, in the smartphone world, in the iPad world. Like, we probably can just end the show now. Everybody has all the knowledge they need. But having said that, what is your exit strategy, you know, as an entrepreneur? You know, what are you trying to do with this model? Do you really think this could be a big one for you? Tell us about your strategy.
Sure. I mean, so what I've done with this company is basically diametrically opposite from what I've ever done before. We are very small and very lean, and we try to do more things through technology, although we have a really strong customer service focus. Our thought is, you know, we're a closely held private company. Our thought is, you know, if we build this business up, why not keep it? Or if we build it up, you know, maybe we'll sell it. But we're not really out there looking for venture funding. We're not really out there aspiring to IPO and any of that stuff. You know, my personal belief is that a global economy that responds to short-term fluctuations in the stock market doesn't allow for long-term thinking and strategy, which is probably part of what's causing all the trouble. And so I don't really aspire to be on the stock market, but rather, if this is a nice business that, you know, makes a good profit for us and our families and our team and our clients, enabling them to sell more, then, you know, why not make sure that it's got that sort of intimate, small business kind of customer service centric feel always, instead of, you know, becoming a megacorp. I don't know. So the short answer is we don't know yet. We know we're onto something big. We know our technology is awesome. We know we can scale, and we'll kind of decide later what we want to do with it. But you know,
how are you marketing? Exactly, you know, and that's probably, you landed on the best part, I think, at the end there. How were you promoting the site? what's your marketing strategy?
Good question. I mean, basically what we do is, you know, periodically we'll take out a press release, obviously. The next thing is, there is a lot of inertia that comes from having released a lot of apps. You know, the fact that we've put out 200 apps gives us massive credibility. I mean, we're probably one of the bigger, you know, we've probably got more numbers than 90% of the app store market. But, you know, right now we're doing word of mouth. We're also doing direct. I mean, we're basically finding people that would fit and could benefit from what we're doing. We're reaching out. We're picking up the phone. We're calling them. We're talking them through. We're spending the time they need to get clarity on what this will do to benefit their business. And that's how we're doing it. We don't need to make, you know, because we're so small and lean, we don't really need to make 1,000 sales a month. What we really want to do is make sure that every one of our clients is taken care of, has a great product, and the more we put out, the more inertia this builds.
Mm-hmm. What's been the best way to foster word-of-mouth marketing, in your opinion?
You know, making sure our clients are really happy with what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
How often do you touch your clients through the process?
I mean, you know, we have a lot of smartphone and publisher clients that sort of resurface or contact us, or, you know, sometimes they have support requests or ideas or whatever. So we almost nearly provide 24 hours of support. People are amazed that they hear from us, you know, relatively quickly whenever they contact us. With the iPad publisher, it's a very high touch product. So we work with them intimately to set up their app. We optimize their PDFs. We, you know, do tests. We'll send them screenshots and videos and things like that that they can look at so they can get a real idea. It's a very hard thing to give someone a preview of on their own device before releasing it. So, you know, we basically, like I'm working with a client right now that's got these PDFs that are just really weird, you know, really weirdly set up. So it's taking a little bit of, you know, Sherlock Holmes power on my part to like figure out what they're doing to make sure it's done right so that it can be optimized so that their users can have a great experience. So it's a high touch process. Mm-hmm. After you do that, people are like, wow, you're awesome. And then they tell everybody about you. So.
You've dabbled into the iPads and in the smartphones. You know, what's next as far as this technology is concerned and how it might apply to some other channels?
Well, I mean, from a technology standpoint, in publishing, a lot of people have been talking about like EPUB 3 format, which is, you know, some sort of, it's supposed to be like a holy grail of formats, and we'll really see because it hasn't fully materialized yet. Obviously, there's HTML5. A lot of people are talking about that as a way to go cross-platform and potentially circumvent Apple, you know, the App Store or whatever. You know, we will probably do an HTML5 version of our technology at some point. I think on our side, we're kind of keenly interested to see what happens with Microsoft, especially as a result of their deal with Nokia. Microsoft has this tendency to kind of sit on the sidelines, let a market mature, and then come in gangbusters and, you know, dominate. Obviously, Android is a really big platform. You know, and so our plan is to expand. Our first plan is to expand the iPad publisher to Android and do that with, you know, within the middle of 2012. After that, we basically want to go to our customers and see what they want and discuss with them what's going to make them, you know, the most profits, whether we go to Microsoft or whether we go to HTML5 or whether we build in a shopping cart of a different type or, you know, whatever features. What are the features that our clients want? What do most of them want? And then we'll look to add those features.
Got it. So Manish, how do you want people to get a hold of you? And who would you like to get a hold of you?
You know, that's a great question. I appreciate the opportunity. I mean, you can visit us at novatrix.com. That's N-O-V, like November, the number 8-R-I-X.com. Our email is info@novatrix.com. Our phone number is on there, which you can reach us at. It's 646-625-9890. Feel free to call us, talk to us about your business, let us know what you're looking for. You know, if we're not a fit, we'll be the first people to tell you. First and foremost, and you know, check out our stuff online, and you can get in touch with us. And if you have specific needs, you know, we're happy to talk about that. If you have some ideas, we're happy to talk about that.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. This has been really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much. You know, I hope that some of the things that I shared were of educational value, at least to your listeners.
I think we're all ready to conquer the iPad and the smartphone world armed with a great storefront to sell stuff. So thanks for that. I'd like to come back to you as you progress with the company, though, so I look forward to the opportunity to do that. The one nugget that you may have discovered, which I think is super hot, and I think it applies to your product, is this real interesting whole lead generation and value proposition sort of colliding together, right? So, you know, when companies can give cool stuff away, you know, in return for an email address to start a conversation, and when they can give cool assets away and content assets particularly that make their life smarter, better, faster, and wiser, you know, that's a relationship that you could help start and foster. And it's certainly understandable that you wanted to point the technology at the self-publishing marketplace, which is like a gajillion billion dollar industry, but you know, but small businesses need help, you know, and so keep that in the mind as you roll out these different business models. I think it could be really exciting. I think you could really, you could be a deal changer in that space for small to mid-sized businesses.
Absolutely. And I actually just would like to close by saying that, you know, for those that are out there looking at solutions, definitely keep a close eye on some of the things we have coming. For example, we're adding the ability to do mixed media because we've got this, you know, massive infrastructure that already is doing that. And we have some really innovative ideas about publishing as a whole and giving people technology to tackle publishing differently, because what we found is even though things are moving to the iPad, people are still very much print-centric in how they're looking at it. And I think that what's going to happen is in a couple of years when people sort of shed the shackles of thinking in print and think about things in technology and tablets and what, you know, touch screens and things like that, you're really going to see an entirely different structure and experience for published content. So it's cool to be helping to shape that.
Spot on. A very exciting future, and one that's more visually, you know, inclined rather than, you know, word driven. I think you'd agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
And there's so many fascinating studies about that out there, about how your mind works and retains information when it's presented in a visual nature. I think we're just beginning to tap into that power of our brain and figuring out how to use the other 80%, or in my case, 99% that isn't being used. But once again, thank you so much for being on the show today. This was a great interview, and I appreciate your time and interest.
Great. Thanks, Byron. All the best to you and your listeners. Happy holidays.
Right on. Yes, indeed. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Until next week, hope your life's a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser when it related to mobile marketing and iPads and smartphones and everything else that we have to work with these days. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.